Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Your Important to Sarah. This is Sarah speaking. I have a Dr. Erica Cossell on today, and I'm very, very happy to have her on because she has a very, very significant message for you all to hear. But before I bring her on, I'm just going to address a couple of things before I read her bio to you. We must take ownership of our own lives, even of our own health. Many of the times we get diagnosed with something, and don't forget doctors are limited. They have limited understanding, and very often it's 5 minutes and a test, and that's it. They've diagnosed you. And half the time, I'm sorry, it's wrong. And if it doesn't feel right to you, then you must go and investigate by any means possible. Other doctors, alternative medicines, go and search for the answer. Last week's guest did that. He went all the way to Germany to find a doctor, to find a cure for his thrombosis. There are cures out there for the diseases that we have. If it is indeed that disease and not something else, please don't just lay down and die. I know it can be quite catastrophic when you get given a sentence of something, but that doesn't mean it's the end. It isn't until your last breath. Take charge of your life, and most importantly, keep your faith, keep your belief, and be happy. Be grateful for the life that you do have, the people that you have around you, and make sure laughter is inserted in your life because it will give you the energy to work through it. So, after Erica's husband was diagnosed with a fatal health diagnosis of ALS, he, Jim, and his wife, Erica, realized that not all things added up. After all, searching for the answers and regaining some control with more promising diagnosis, the Lyme's disease. Jim's battle was just the beginning. After losing 60 pounds and the ability to breathe, a tracheostomy, that thing that goes down your throat, I can't say it properly, was performed. Bomb after bomb was thrown at the family, and each time they regained their strength and their resilience. A 6 months to live declaration of years was years ago, and small gains in strength and health are coming slowly. With young children to look after, she and her husband and her health challenges, they decided to help others in their situation with awareness of the disease and the encouragement of empowerment of oneself with what options are available to others. Erica blogs Traveling Troubled Times, where she writes about her experiences with raising two children and caring for her husband and juggling a full-time career. She and her husband also maintain a website, Bounce to Resilience, which they can be found at bouncetoresilience.com, and it is designed to provide to help people experience extreme stress and adversities through these times of trouble. Dr. Cossell, Erica, is also a public speaker in inspiring people to take control of their own situation by adopting resilience strategies and is the author of a forthcoming book, Miracles for Daddy, a family's inspirational fight against modern medicine Goliath, due out in November. Cheer the family on, folks. Their fighting spirit is quite contagious, and this book could be something that can really, really benefit you. So without further ado, let's hear Erica's story. Erica, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. It's very nice to be with you today.
Well, you have such a story to tell, and I know there's many other people that have the same story. They get given a diagnosis and their world gets turned upside down, and nobody quite prepares you for facing things like this, especially if there is that irking voice in the back saying, but this doesn't feel right. So how about you take me through those steps of when it didn't feel right and you started looking to what really was the problem?
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to. Jim, let's see, it started about 4.5 years ago, maybe almost 5 years ago, was having trouble with kind of flu-like symptoms. He had trouble opening bottles. He had a really, really major bad crick in his neck, a headache that wouldn't go away, especially after he had red wine, and just some other little things that all were kind of confusing. And finally, his journey led him to see a neurologist who gave him a nerve conduction test. And the neurologist said, well, this isn't abnormal, but it's not normal either. But just in case, let's send you to another neurologist for a second opinion. And the neurologist is an ALS specialist. He's very well known and apparently very well respected in the area. And we went to see him, and very quickly we were discounted and given this label of ALS. And when we sort of protested and said, but what about all these other symptoms? It was sort of like, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And actually this physician had said to us, I'm the expert. I read every night. I know what I'm talking about.
That's always a red flag right there.
Yes, I mean, really, it was so shocking to me that we were treated that way. But when you get that diagnosis or any diagnosis from a physician, you do start thinking, well, it must be, right? He told me it is, and therefore it must be. And as you said in the intro, we were completely devastated. You know, our life changed overnight. And we had no idea what to expect or what was going to happen. And we knew that the diagnosis for somebody with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease after the diagnosis was a 2 to 5 year lifespan. And so, you know, we were sort of trying to figure out what to do. At the time, we had a 1.5 year old son, and we were just trying to make sense of everything. And then, really, it didn't take very long, but it was just like, wait a minute, wait, no, something's not right, something's not right. And all through this process, we have had, you know, people coming to us at certain times and saying something to us, or something happening on TV, some sort of information that comes our way in the form of a TV show or a book or, in our case, a lovely neighbor of ours giving us this DVD that had to do with Lyme disease. And so it just sort of all started coming together, like, wait a minute, there is something else that can mimic ALS, and, you know, maybe it's this. And so with some poking and prodding and some, again, help from another friend, we found a doctor who is considered Lyme literate, since Lyme is this kind of crazy disease that historically has unreliable tests, and that kind of takes on a different path in every person that it attacks. You have to get a physician who really understands it. So fortunately, we found that person and got the correct diagnosis of chronic Lyme disease. And Jim does have ALS symptoms, so his neurological symptoms, his muscular systems are ALS-like. He's got the weakness and the atrophy and some of that, but he doesn't have ALS. So we were really hopeful with that, and still knew we had a long road ahead of us, but still, it changed everything, of course.
It's changed the way you treat the disease for a start, right?
And, absolutely.
You know, you could be completely treating it the wrong way and not serving it at all, making things worse.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Lyme's is something that is treatable and also hasn't got that death sentence hanging over it, you know, which, again, is a relief, isn't it? And, you know,
you were talking about
the doctors, you know, I said it was a red flag. In the moment anybody says, but I'm the expert, and isn't willing to listen to the patient, is ego-driven. And it's they're so wrapped up in their own knowledge that they're not willing to grow and listen to other knowledge. Because when we, let's think about it, there's always new things that are coming into play, you know, new types of diseases, new types of symptoms to old diseases, new alternatives of cures, and this narrow-mindedness is really quite detrimental to people. And this is why I said at the top of the hour, You know, if it doesn't feel right, do something about it. Research yourself.
And you said something before, too, that I thought was fantastic. When you and I spoke earlier, obviously not on the air, you said something about just because symptoms say one thing doesn't mean you have that disease.
Right.
And I thought, you are so right, Sarah. That is so spot on. And even if you do have those symptoms, your body has the ability to heal itself if you provide it with all of the, you know, proper nutrition and the, you know, anti-stress levels, and you've got the support system around you. If you've got the right puzzle pieces in place, your body can heal itself. So we hold on to that.
Yes, exactly. And the fact that, you know, resilience, the fact that you weren't just going to say, well, now I'm preparing to be a widow, and, you know, it's like, this isn't right. We're going to research, we're going to fight, we're going to do this and that. And that together that you are working on this, you know, your travel blog and this book that you've put together, in that itself is that it's brought your family closer together.
It has. You know, when all of this started, Jim and I kept saying, there must be a reason for all of this. I just can't believe that all of this awfulness would happen without, you know, some good coming out of it. And so one of the things that we decided was good was that we certainly know each other on a much more intimate level than being married for. At the time this started, I think we were married about 8 years, and I thought I knew him very well, but this just adds another dimension to understanding somebody, and that's obviously a good thing. And then we're very hopeful that we're helping other people that are facing these kind of extremely stressful, adverse kind of situations.
Right. And, you know, the test of love is, you know, is adversity, isn't it? And that's when you really know who your best friends are, where your love really stands, is when you can go down these roads together.
Yes, and, indeed.
Yeah, and you know, kind of, there's going to be frustration, but leave the drama behind. Because if you always believe there is a solution, and they always say that God doesn't give us a disease without us, you know, the cure a few feet away, but it may not be, you know, in the pharmaceutical bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, being open to it and being encouraging to one another and helping people through their days is, it is, I think, probably a good 70% of any illness, cure or surviving it, is the attitude in which you approach it, and the love and the dedication and the spirit in belief that you will get through it. I think it's a huge amount.
I have heard recently, I don't remember the authority, I don't remember if it's the Center for Disease Control, or if it's some other authority body, but something like, this is from memory, 80 to 90% of all diseases are based on stress-related problems that stimulate these diseases. I mean, that's staggering.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal.
They actually say it contributes a great deal to what cancer is that if you are diagnosed with a disease, sometimes it's environmental. You know, the places that you lived, you were born, things that are in the element, you know, in the air. You know, like with Jerry last week, it was to do with the fungi that was where he was brought up. Before you came on the show, you were saying where your husband was brought up. And our environments, without us knowing, can be contaminating. And it sits so dormant and grows within our system until maybe we become a little ill in something else, and then the system breaks down.
That's right.
And they definitely contributed many, many illnesses to stress. And we take on today so much stress in so many levels. You know, got to have the perfect job, the perfect wife, the perfect kids, the perfect house, the perfect car, the perfect this. Nobody has time for themselves. Nobody has time for each other. And nobody just breathes and just lets be what is, right? And
that's
enjoy
true.
The simple things in life. And a lot of the stress we put upon ourselves, and then we wonder why we get ill. And so, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. So tell me how you blog. You know, what, do people call into you? Do you write into you? Do you hear people's stories and respond back?
Although that's a really fantastic idea. On our website, Jim and I have a page that is like the contact page that ask people what they're interested in, and our newsletters are designed to try to target the things that people are interested in. And we also are trying something new where we want to highlight a hero. So, you know, if you have somebody you want to nominate that you think is really fantastic, who's done this great job with being able to fight off some disease or fight off some financial stress or, you know, just some tip or strategy, we want to try to highlight those accomplishments. I think sometimes Jim and I have been extremely fortunate to have kind family, kind friends, kind neighbors who help us tremendously. And I think there are a lot of people who do not have that. And
yeah,
sometimes that isolation of feeling alone is what's going to do you in. And so
yes,
we're trying to foster a community. And, you know, being connected to somebody doesn't necessarily mean, you know, physically I can walk to your house and bring you some dinner. I mean, it could be send me an email. I actually met this lovely lady, Barbara Brown, who just has a really positive outlook on life. And we just, I responded to a question that she had out there. And now we email each other back and forth every once in a while. And she lives, you know, hours and hours and hours away from me on the West Coast. And I'm on the East Coast. So when I actually blog on my traveling troubled times, I usually just blog about something that I find of interest to me or a frustration to me, or a lot of times it deals with my kids because right now they're at these incredibly sweet ages and there's so much to learn from kids. They're just resilient beings by design, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, our son is 6 and our daughter is 3, and so oftentimes there's a story about them in there. And but I like the idea of kind of asking people questions like, what would you like to know about? And maybe that would provide a little more insight to how both Jim and I handle things.
Well, you know, obviously
to other people.
You're going to have to come on my other show, my challenge show, and actually speak to people's challenges in dealing with people who are sick. So I think that would be very, very good. You know,
oh, yes, I'd love that.
So I think that will be excellent. And so if you've got people who've got questions, we can bring them on the show, on that show, the importance of your challenge, and help people through those challenges, because it is a challenge, isn't it? But it's how you meet that challenge. You can, it can be so overbearing in the challenge that you can't, you know, you just can't take that your next foot forward. Or it can be so exhilarating in that challenge as, you know, what can I achieve today? How far can I push myself today? And so I think it's the approach and the attitude, and that's sometimes all that people need to hear, isn't it?
That's
they
right.
need to hear that somebody else is going through it, and you can help them through it by just encouraging each other.
Yes, and I think one of the most important things that I have learned, and actually, again, if you look to the kids, they do this all the time, is, what do you mean I can't do that? What do you mean you're trying to direct where I'm supposed to go? Of course I can do that. So, but part of it absolutely is the attitude. I think you and I talked about this quote that I love by Teddy Roosevelt that's actually in a frame in my kids' bathroom. And Jim and I are making T-shirts right now that I'm trying to get people to wear to encourage him further. And the quote is, and the T-shirt is, and the sign in my kids' bathroom is, "Believe you can, and you're halfway there."
Exactly, exactly. That's, it all starts with belief. I have my own, which is find something to believe in, act on that belief, and commit to that action. And everything stems in belief. If you believe you can, yes, you are halfway there. Everything else is just logistics. It's just
the
action and committing to it. But if you don't have belief, it doesn't matter what you do. Nothing will happen. It has to stem in a belief. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, this is actually kind of really neat. I like the fact that you fit into the other show as well, because, you know, the challenges of everybody that is there. So how about you tell me a little bit about this book that is coming up? I love the title of it, Miracles for Daddy. I think that's, you know, wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. And actually, as I was writing the book, you know, a lot of times people think about, you know, the walking on water, humongous miracles. And I realized pretty quickly that, as I mentioned earlier, small miracles, people showing up at the right time. I heard from somebody at church the other day who was responding to a question of, you know, the kind of why do bad things happen, or why doesn't God answer my prayers? the preacher said, you know, God answers prayers by sending the right people. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a miracle. You know what I mean? That's a small miracle.
Absolutely.
We've got to pay attention to the signs, though.
We have to pay attention to those signs.
Absolutely.
You know, if looking for a billboard, it isn't a billboard. It can be subtle as someone passing you in the street with an answer, right?
Yes. And actually, when we started down this path, the question you asked earlier was, how did you know? And I sort of focused on me and just sort of my gut telling me something's not right. There's all these other symptoms. But in Jim's case, Jim was actually taking a nap, and he heard this voice. Like he distinctly heard two messages, one that said, it is Lyme, and the other one that kept saying, sleep, sleep, you need sleep. And he ended up initially concentrating on the sleep message first, and we ignored the Lyme one because we had just gotten that ALS diagnosis, and that's all
right.
We could hear.
Yes.
But again, that is a miracle. That Jim got that message and that we finally paid attention to it. And so the book is really my family's story of how we've dealt with all of this, but also trying to encourage other people to, again, take control of their own lives. Don't let somebody else direct you down a path that you just don't feel comfortable with or that you know is not correct. And to, again, sort of, as you said, I loved your introduction, you know, be grateful for what's around you. Be positive. There's always some kind of gem hidden if you just look deep enough. And also to sort of encourage people from a health point of view to learn a little bit more about Lyme and to not take the physician's opinion at surface value, you know, to really think about it. Does this make sense? Do I need to do more investigating, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. And that's taking the ownership. Is you know, I know people, and I have known people that when they've got given a diagnosis of something, generally cancer, that's it. They've given into it, and you know, they're just, you know, going to go through the whole thing. And if they survive, they survive. If they die, they die. And it's a, you know, life is a gift, and there's far too many people in this world that throw life away, you know, in wars, in conflicts, in taking chances, you know, I'm all for the risk taker that wishes to get up and push the limits, but there's still that, you know, that sense of boundary. But for people that just abuse themselves, and in any form of way, because they have no regard for the gift that they're living. And that we live in the most beautiful world, and we need to respect it. And we have these wonderful things called bodies that have these incredible sensations. We're able to feel our soul. We're able to feel our body. We're able to smell and to taste. We're able to interact and articulate what we're feeling, to express it. This is an incredible thing that we're in here. And we need to look after it, and we need to pay attention to the signs that are knocking on our door when we're not feeling well. Don't just brush it off or take an Advil and go, no, I've got to go to work.
Yes.
If your body is saying slow down, or if your body is speaking to you, listen to it. What is wrong? You know, my 4th of July, Ingrid Erickson, the allergist, go and get tested. If you can find someone to test you on the allergies and find out what is systemic within your body. Definitely putting good nutrition in your body is essential. But the good attitude, doesn't matter how much nutrition you put in there. If you're a drama queen or king or queen, if you look always to the anxiety, if you're always wringing your hands and going, no, I can't do that, guaranteed it's going to keep hitting you over the head. We have to learn to breathe. We have to learn to accept the challenges that come and fall from us. And we need to take responsibility for our own actions. And make the choice that even when we get hit over the head with something, how are we going to face this challenge? And we can do it with honor and dignity. And it doesn't mean you can't break down and have a damn good cry or even get mad at the world, because that's part of the releasing which we need to do.
Yeah, actually, Jim and I have had that conversation a bunch because, you know, I'll say, Jim, you got to be positive on the days that it's so hard. And he just looks at me sometimes when it's one of those really, really awful days and says, do you expect me to be positive every day? And I said, no, of course not. No, I can't even imagine that being realistic. But you can't dwell for too long on all of the awfulness and the unfairness, because it does you no good. There's no point to it.
You know, throw your arms around yourself now and again, give yourself a hug and go, there. You know, I'm fully understanding of bad days or bad weeks or months sometimes. And you know what? It's give yourself that loving, if there's no one else there to do it, or even just give it to yourself, and then go, okay, that's enough. This is not helping me get out of the situation.
And that's right.
Getting out
at some
of the
point, sort of slap yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to be still. You just have to be still and quiet and pay attention to the signs. You know, his signs that it was sleep and lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that message came through to him. We can't miss those. The person in church, the little things that get dropped to us, they're all signs in life, and they're all there to give us our answers. So we need to be still enough to listen to them.
That's right. And not to just say, oh, that's a coincidence.
No,
it means
something. Exactly. There aren't any coincidences in life. Everything is planned. Everybody that you come into life with and everything that's given to us, right? God doesn't give it to us if we can't handle it. Although sometimes we want to say to God, it's enough.
That's
it's
right.
Enough already. So your book comes out in November?
Yes, end of November. And I'm very excited. So I've been working with a great editor, and it's really starting to come together nicely, and it's hopefully going to provide people with, sort of a good inspiration story and a reminder that impossible things happen and that good things are out there in life if you, again, believe and go toward them.
And we never know what we really are capable of until we face it. I mean, this is the thing is, you know, everybody thinks that the athlete who wins the silver and the gold and the bronze, you know, that these are the champions of the world, and they're the champions of their sport, and they're an expression of tenacity. But we have so many champions out there. I really love your idea of being able to profile somebody who's gone through their challenge and who has faced, you know, who's become a champion in their own life, you know, climbed that Mount Everest. And I think we need to spend so much more time on congratulating people for overcoming or for staying with their challenge. And, you know, facing it, and give them more attention and news instead of the constant news of doom and destruction. We need to celebrate these people more. So I think that's a wonderful idea of what you're doing on your site.
Thank you so much.
So if you want to just give everybody how they're going to be able to get your book.
Well, it will be available through Amazon.com, but right now, if you go to our website, I hope Jim has been diligently trying to fix the glitch that we had with our PayPal. So hopefully it's fixed right now. But you should be able to pre-order it on our website, bouncetoresilience.com.
Fabulous. And that's not that's Bounce to Resilience, Miracles of Daddy, right?
That's right. So if you go, there's a link for books and services, and the T-shirts will be available there too if you're interested in that.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, that's a great idea. I mean, it's about time we tilted this and let people that it all starts with belief. And you know, we can face our challenge, do it together, and it can bring you closer together. And, yes, you can overcome. Everybody's journey is for a reason. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, love.
Thank you so much. It's been very nice.
I definitely want to get you on the other show. So we're going to have a phone call about that and get you on the other show in speaking particularly to a certain challenge. So we invite people on to speak to that. So I will touch bases with you and look forward to seeing you on that show.
That's great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, darling. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, have a good day.
Folks, we can overcome. Challenges are put there for a reason. Next week, I have somebody else who knows everything about challenges herself, Tracy McGee. She specializes in alcohol and drug abuse. My God, her book, when I read it, just made me cry. The story and the life that she has had is incredible. So please do tune into that. And next week on The Importance of Your Challenge, 5 o'clock Tuesday, I have a lady teaching EFT. It's a technique in getting rid of sugar cravings. And this is with Joanne Skywatcher. And technique of EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, tapping, is absolutely brilliant. You can do it anywhere, anytime. So please do tune in and help get rid of those sugar cravings that are causing diabetics, weight gain, or just simply just too much in your system. So folks, I hope you have learned a lot here today. Never give up. Never give in. There is always an answer. Have a good week, everybody. God bless.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.